Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 21st of August, 2018, Tuesday class. So we will now get ready for puja. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa.Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can visit that. Turn to page one of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onwards. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Patiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majjhapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganda Sarapaditena Dipena tamadangsina Diloka dipang sambutang Pujayami tamonodang Ganda sambarayutena Dupena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi putang kasumena nena punena matena cha hotu mokang pupang milayati ta idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivase thuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase thuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase thuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now you chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the affinity, conditioned affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. You off the light, then you can have your half an hour of meditation. Huh? closer and now slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to develop the mindfulness and awareness of all your action and movement within the present moment. Okay, then we will turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanang Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanang Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanang Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Mo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhammasarati Satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko Pachatang veditabo vinohiti Supatipano bhagavato saukasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yatidang chatari Purisa yukani ata purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaniyo anutarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajan. Bhutang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be set up. And we will continue with our second session. Today, maybe we just see whether there's anybody reporting their meditation or ask any question. Then after that, there is a suggestion that those who went for the spiritual trip, the recent one to Yunnan province, where we visited Duku Lake, Shangri-La mountain, and also the Tiger Lapping Gorge. Then we also visited these many temples in Dali. English, I think, is called Dali. But Mandarin is called Dali. Then finally, we also move on to Kunming, where we visited another temple, and the spiritual trip was very beautiful, as usual, like all the previous ones. They were very, very beautiful and very meaningful. Everything went in accordance. It's like we are very blessed with the weather. The weather is always very kind. Then it's like we are being protected, well protected by Dhamma protectors. Then many things did happen, but everything turned out well and beautiful. Then many other temples are like meant to be and all those things. After, during the sharing, you can hear them. Okay, now I will open it up for reporting of meditation. Anybody wants to report your meditation or ask whatever Dhamma question related to meditation and the Dhamma? Anybody? Nobody want to report meditation. Then what are you doing? You didn't meditate at all. If you don't ask, you won't learn. Okay, if you don't have, then maybe we will start with the spiritual trip sharing. The spiritual trip sharing, we will get Brother Song to do it. Just now he approached me, he said he got something to share. So Brother Song, the mic is there. Yeah.
Brother, 我要 share 一个experience， 这个在大理的那个大木山的那个 temple
啊 ，yes，
在那个大木山的那个 temple， 当我pay their respect， and 走一圈那个大雄宝殿了以后。我站在一个 corner 这样子看着这整个大雄宝殿的时候 我忽然间我有一个vibrating 当我一 vibrating 的时候、我有一种很 deep 的感觉说、我很像 feel 到、这个 temple 以前的那两个、皇帝在那一边、的那个、景象 我觉得很像很 real 的这样子。所以then 我 come out from 这个 temple 的时候，我们就 on the way 要去吃饭。then 我就你the day before 我们在那个鸡足山的那个卡巴，你跟我讲的那句话，他很像来 remind 我一但他来 remind 了我以后 ，then 我就不去 focus on 那个 experience。所以我就去吃饭。当我在吃饭的时候，我就吃到一半，我看那个外面的那个 wall 的时候，加上那个 emotion 那个 environment， 然后我又有一个 vibrating 的那个感觉，我又觉得哎，这个 condition， 那个。 感觉就很 real 的 like 很熟悉 like 很像我、哦、就这个在这那个那整个的、哦、你一看到那个墙壁那个condition 那个感觉 like 你很 real 的就、哦、很像在那一边这样。But 我也不理他，我就 continue 吃了饭。然后 after that 我们去那个 pagoda 的时候，我就问那个导游，
yeah.
这个皇帝是几个在这里出家？
Yeah.
因为在那个我们看那个《天龙八部》的时候，他是讲那两个 brother 是皇帝来的。所以那个时候我在那个庙里面，我是感觉那两个皇帝都在那一边。
Oh.
然后那个导游跟我讲。只有哥哥出家，我就知道这整个的 condition， 这整个的 incident 是一个假象来的，
yeah, yeah.
哦、是一个假象，
yeah.
所以我就不再去 focus on 那一边。然后 on the way 坐 bus 回昆明的时候，
yeah.
我就在 bus 上，我就在 recall 这整个的 incident， 然后我就去 reflect， 我去 investigate， 我说这整个的 incident。已经 confirm 不是那两个 brother， 只有哥哥罢了。但是我的感觉那个时候是觉得是有两个皇帝，所以 it means that 是it's not the real one。等于我讲 not real one， 你的那个基础上的那个 advice 又在 arise 的时候，等于我就在想，这样他要给我一个什么样的message？ 我要从这个 incident 里面看到什么的有什么的 understanding？有什么的 dharma？ 然后我就去 inquire 了，以后然后我就去 silent， 然后我就在车上就这样子的就躺住。然后不久 suddenly 你过去我们听的那些 dharma 整个全部的 arise， 你的就现起来，那些 conditioning conditioning perception sankara feeling 全部一 arise 了，我好像整个人就忽然间明白了。等我再 recall 回那刚才我在那个 temple 的那整个的过程，
yeah.
我就明白了，原来以前我在中学的时候很喜欢看这个《天龙八部》啊，很喜欢看这个小说。
那、yeah.
我们已经看了这个小说，它已经 imprint 了、
yeah.
哦、因为我们很喜欢 ，because 你很喜欢这个 story， 它已经 imprint 进你的 conscious 了。
Yeah. Yeah.
再加上那个时候。又有拍这个连续剧、
yeah.
又有这个 movie、
yeah.
你又再去看你的这个眼睛一看的时候、yeah. 它又在 imprint、
yeah.
很 deep 的进你的 subconscious 了、Then 当你来到了这一个 temple 的时候，这个 temple 是 real 的，就在那个小说里面有讲到的是玉龙寺、
yeah. Yeah, 玉龙
连那个皇帝也在这一边，所以因为你站在那边，这整个的 condition它就 arise 就现了出来，你的 perceptions 那个 conditioning arise 你的 perceptions， 然后你的 perception 因为你一看到那个大雄宝殿，你的那个 sankara arise 它 trigger off 这了这个 memory， 就让你觉得你很像就在这个 temple 里面 witness 这个皇帝 ，and then。Part of the mind 又有这个 feeling， 你的 feeling 又 vibrating 的话，它更 real 的也你去 feel 到来，这个假象来很像是一个 real 的一个 incident。所以那个时候，我觉得是说，我觉得很那个时候我就觉得说 ，luckily the day before 在基督山的卡巴的时候，你跟我讲的那个 statement 说，
我提醒你，
对。
就
那其实我那个我一 feel 到了以后，我没有把我的 mind focus on 这个 experience 里面去，
yeah, 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 yeah.
我就 silent， then 你的那个 advice 就 arise 就提醒我有什么 understanding， 有什么 dharma，
yeah,
我就
receive from it,
对，我就去 focus 在 on 这个 dharma 跟 understanding 这边。
Yeah.
Because of 这样，我在那个 bus 上的时候，他就 arise 了，就给我有了这个 understanding，让我去看到这整个的 incident、
yeah.
是一个 conditioning arise， 然后你的 perception 加上你的 perceptions，
yeah, yeah.
你的 sankara， 你的 feeling， 全部它 manifest，
yeah,
让你有一个错觉。如果我们没有这个 right understanding 跟 right view 的话， yeah. 你的那个 subtle 的 ego 就会去 attach and craft on 这个 experience， 你会以为你有 something special， 你可以去 feel 1000 years ago 这两个皇帝在这个 temple 里面出家的那个情景，那这个 ego mind 你就会去 click， 你就会 cling and attach on 你的这个 wrong view， then 你就慢慢的就不是on the right path now， 你的 focus 对，你会在 unintentionally and unknowingly that 你的这个 cultivation 就会 divert 去focus on 这个 feeling 这个这种 experience， 因为它太过你会觉得你因为我们的那个 subtle ego 会你会让你觉得你会有你是不一样的 you are different from other beings these are humans because you got this super power to feel something 对，所以我就那个时候我在巴上的时候我这整个一 arise 我觉得我很多的 joys 很多的那个 pity 然后我才我就真的是很深的去很感谢 Brother Dio 这几年你的这个 teaching， 最重要的是那个我在基督山你给我的那个 advice， 他在这整个 incident 里面他 remind 了我，变成我不 focus on 那个 experience， 我就把我的 focus on 这个Dharma 跟 understanding 里面
very good，
然后过后我在 relax contemplate 说 suddenly 我又在 arise， 这个很像是因为那个大雄宝殿的四个菩提萨埵是在四个 corner， 我去绕了一个绕了以后 actually 我是站在观音的旁边这样子看这个大雄宝殿 then suddenly 这整个的 phenomena 这整个的 condition 就 arise， 我就觉得很像是这个观世音菩萨他在好像在 manifest 一个 test一个 test 让我去看我自己能够不能够有这个 understanding， 那个时候我真的是很我真的是很 deep 的这个gratitude 感恩观世音菩萨，他 manifest 这个 condition 让我去 arise 这个
understanding
去看到这整个的 conditioning perceptions sankara feeling 怎样的去去 delete 一个人，如果这个如果我们每一个人没有这个 right view， 也没有这个stabilize the mindfulness 的话，你就一直这样的在 lost in 你的这一个delusion 里面。
Sadhu, very good. Okay, very good. Maybe the rest, do you understand what he shared? Don't know. You all don't know Mandarin. Those who didn't go for the trip worse. You don't even know what he's trying to share with you. Okay, anyway, I will explain it. Because when we were there, the first 2 days was actually nothing much. Because first 2 days is, like I say, is a spiritual tour. We went and visit this minority race or tribal group of China. This Duku like that, they got this native people. They call it their Nasi. Mosso and Nasi, both I think two. These are the minority groups. And in that place, the ladies are given special attention and powers. That's why it's called a country of ladies. Ni Er Guo is country where they give high respect and position or power to the daughters of the family. That's why Ni Er Guo, daughter's country. The other one is just their what they call culture. We see some show. Then we also visited one monastery. We are there. The people are mainly Tibetan descendants, but they are minority group because they are the minority that break away or happen to come out of Tibet and settle around there because that area is the border, the Yunnan boundary is bordering Tibet, Burma, Laos, and Thailand. So because of that, first 2 days there was nothing much. But on the third day onward, we started to visit temples. And there is this very big temple in high up on the mountain one, but the Tibetan one. So that one, we also had very good discussion on it, because this is to let people understand what self-delusion is all about, and also rite and ritual, the second factors that bind living beings. The first factor is sakkayaditi, self-delusion. Then the second factors that bind living beings to this existential world or samsara is rites and ritual, attachment to rites and ritual. So that one, after we visited this tribal group, when they told us about the way they live their life, their way of life, not following the usual norm of the Han people, then they evolved their own. But they were very primitive. That's why finally I had this discussion with the Kainamita at night we meet. Then we share and discuss. Then we talk about various type of minority group having their own type of teaching or belief system which guide them on how they should live their life. So that is to break free from rites and ritual, the second fetters that bind living being. That's why the Buddha, when he teach, he just teach you the Dhamma, the truth. He said, with this, you can live life, you can understand life, and you can develop the wisdom to awaken. That's what you need. You don't need all the various ideology to live life, all the various belief system, or so-called religion, to guide you on how to live life. You only need to understand truth, the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then when you understand truth, you understand life. Then you know how to live, that's it. Then you don't have to subject yourself to any religious ideology or belief system. You don't have to divide yourself into various types of religion or belief system or even race and tribal group. So that was the first aspect. Then later on, as we visit temple, then Brother Song used to check with me on his experience and all those things, because he has connected and his mind is already most of the time silent and sensitive. So sometimes when he visited this temple on spiritual trip, especially the ancient temple that we went to, he can have a lot of what they call experiences, cunning. Then when it happens, it's so strong, then often move to tears and joy and other things. So initially he thought this were beautiful experiences and good. But then I keep on reminding him, meditation is not about experience. Experience is a conditioned state of mind. When you have that condition, when all these conditions fall into place, then it will come. But for cultivator, when this experience arises, you need to make use of it to develop wisdom, to stabilize your understanding or to awaken your nature deeper and deeper. Otherwise, it's just a conditioned state and experience, nothing more than that. Then he also realized the subtle ego is very, very keen to attach and cling, thinking that you are already different. You can have all these style experiences, feeling and all those things, sensation. So what happened was, when we were at that temple, he mentioned, what's the name already? No, no. The just now you mentioned that temple. Yilongsi, yes, correct. Yilongsi, yeah. The very ancient temple. It seems, according to the Taoyu who took us there, he said within the Yunnan province, especially Tali area, or maybe the whole of China, I'm not very sure. He said there are recorded history of 31 emperor, Luofa, renounced. Yeah. And out of the 33, that temple holds a record of 9. 9 of the emperor did their ordination there. And because of that, during the ancient time, this temple was very famous. But then over the years, because of condition, all the thing went different way. Now it's like not many people are interested in that temple. We are very run down. And the images are all very old, not really restored. But this place is funny because later on we went, they took us to this this place where there is a lot of stupa. Then there is an underground underground they call it's not a cave, it's a man-made structure underground to link up some of the very important stupa, where you can go underground, walk those places to see underneath the stupa. And it's supposed to have relics and all those things. So this place is very unique, very beautiful, because it's very ancient. And the only thing is the vibration not that tight. They claim that there is one stupa where we can see through the magnifying glass. It's supposed to be the relics of the Buddha, Sakyamuni. But I don't think so, because when I was there, I feel I can't. Well, if it's Sakyamuni, one is very strong, very strong. But there are energy there, and all those things. So when Brother Song was at the Ta Xiong Pao Tien, when he experienced another of this type of experience that suddenly come, then it's like very real. He can recollect at the ancient time where this he saw two kings that supposed to receive the ordination and all those things. Then he remembered my advice. Don't attach and cling to the experience. The experience is nothing. It's just a condition state. But this experience, if it cannot bring about an understanding or wisdom for you to progress along the path of Dhamma, then it's just an ordinary condition state experience. Nothing to be excited about. That's why he reflected. Then he tried not to get itself involved with the experience. So he reflected in a different mode or understanding. How can I develop understanding and wisdom out of this? Then he just continued to silent and relax. Then later on, when on the bus, he also continued to relax and silent. Then all of a sudden, he realized all the sharing that I gave to him start to come back to him, and he start to understand them, the dependent origination and all those things, how the memory through perception and the conditioning and all those things. So he start to understand. Then later on, all the very beautiful Dhamma, they starts to become very clear again, even more clear than last time. He was stabilized. So this is how you should develop the cultivation. Do not be deluded by the subtle ego. Because this subtle ego can come back through the back door, letting you feel that you are different really. That's why they call this the minor conceit, mana, which is the number 9 fetters that bind living being. So in cultivation, there are a lot of understanding needed. If you don't have those understanding, then you need people who has the experience and understanding to guide you. And these are very important pointer. If you understand, you break free, you progress much faster. If you don't, you can get trapped at this level of progress. Then most of the time, because of the ability to stay mindful, aware, silent within, that's why he has this ability to experience all these things. Then if you are constantly heedful, mindful, reflecting, contemplating, means you are cultivating the seven factors of enlightenment. Seven factors of enlightenment are very important because these are factors that can make you enlightened. So the first factor of enlightenment, sati, he already has, where he connected. He's very stable. Most of the time, he's aware. So what he needs to do is to use it to investigate into Dhamma, to go into the daily life. Then when the investigation hit a very stable stage, there is so much joy, like what he described. And this joy can open up the heart area. Then it will lead to piti, like what he mentioned. Piti will arise. Piti is the fourth enlightenment factor. But the third enlightenment factor will be there too. Because when there is a lot of joy, it will give rise to faith. Very strong faith, because when you investigate the Dhamma, it stand up to investigation, then everything becomes so clear, so beautiful. That's why it will strive you to cultivate more seriously. That's how virya come to be. Then that piti and the virya, they will together arise. The virya will drive you to conscientiously, diligently cultivate. Then as you develop this ability to be mindful, the investigative Dhamma, then the virya strongly behind, you will experience a lot of piti. When piti comes, it is normally accompanied with joy. You just have to silent, relax deeper into it, so that your nature stabilizes deeper. So when this happens, you have to wait till the mind becomes very quiet, very still, until the mundane mind ceases, or it doesn't arise anymore. So you look at the whiteboard. Now I will re-explain to you. This one is many weeks back. For you to progress along the path of meditation, you need this understanding, and this understanding is very important. We have to start with mind. Like Bodhidharma say, Sing Wei Kenpen. Mind as the basis for cultivation. Because like the Buddha say, everything arises from the mind. Yiqie yiqie wei xing zao. From the mind it manifests. Xing zao cheng de. Everything is created by the mind. So that's the reason why the Buddha said mind is a foreigner of all things. So when it comes to mind, you have to understand there are two types of mind. I think this one also no ing. Pass to Paramasri later on. Mind, there are two types. You have to understand this. If you don't understand this, it's very difficult for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Especially when you are doing the meditation and the contemplation. So why did the Buddha say there are two types of mind? Or maybe based on what I have shared with you. Do you understand by now the two types of mind? You have been using this form of mind for so long. So what do you understand about your mind? Huh? If you don't look at the whiteboard, can you recall? Actually, you don't have to recall, but every day you use. But if you don't meditate and develop the ability to touch your true mind, you cannot understand. Yeah, you think you only got one mind. True or not? Huh? How many mind do you have? Huh? Most of the time you are using which mind? The thinking mind, isn't it? The heedless thinking mind. This one is very active. This one is associated with what? The thought process, understand? That's like thinking. So this mundane mind is dependent originating, condition arising. So how do you understand it? Because when you silent and meditate, you realize you got a lot of thought because your spiritual faculty are not there, not stable. So the mental hindrance keep on arising. There is this sensual desire, you will keep on oscillating until it becomes habitual. Then sometimes you feel sleepy, slow and topple. It's another mental hindrance. Then when you got problem, you got fear, worry, anxiety, your mind become restless, not peaceful, not calm. Then finally, when you have doubt, you lack faith. So these are the hindrances that trigger off mental activity, thinking. That's why the first link is avijja paccaya sankhara. Can follow? Yeah? Dependent on ignorance, you start to think. Because you can't understand. One thing to know, one thing to experience and understand, what do? You go and think. In the school also the teacher say, you don't understand, go back and think about it, then come back tomorrow. So living being thought, thinking can solve your problem. Mechanical problem, yes. Technical problem, yes. But not psychological problem, not wisdom. Thought cannot give rise to wisdom. Thought can give rise to knowledge, intellect. So this aspect of the mundane mind is very important. When you are lost in thought, the mundane mind is active. Can follow? Yeah? Lost in thought means what? You think a lot. Preoccupy your thought process. Means, this is the mundane mind. When this mundane mind, which is the thinking mind, slows down and ceases, what happens? Yeah? When you don't think, no thought, what happened to you? Huh? When your thinking slows down and finally ceases, what happened to you? You will realize the true mind. Eh? This is a silent mind. This is the meditative mind. That's why I wrote it there. You have to understand this. So this meditative mind and the silent mind is the one that can give you the peace, the stillness, the silence within, the tranquility, and finally, paucity, etc. Tranquility is actually paucity, the fifth enlightenment factor. That's why I say after you have the sati, first enlightenment factor, then you investigate into Dhamma, which is Dhamma Vichaya, the second enlightenment factor will arise. Then when you able to see all these essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught you, standing up to investigation and giving you so much understanding and wisdom, there is a lot of joy. And this will give rise to virya. It will drive you to strive on to cultivate. Then virya, when you really go all out, it will give rise to that sati, being very stable. That's how you experience piti. When your mind is in sati, piti will arise. That's why that joy, spiritual joy and piti, born of the meditative mind, the silent mind, they will be there. Then you need to relax into it. Silent, relax. Until this piti also gone. Then yeah. When piti gone, you will experience what they call stillness of mind, tranquility of mind. And there is clarity, there is deep peace, deep silence within. This come about because the true mind got no thought. You understand? No thought means what? No mental formation, no mental state. Means you are not disturbed by the words. Without thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. You understand? No suffering, nothing. Because the true mind is just empty, aware. So when you are just aware, without thought, how can it create emotion? You understand? Your like and dislike, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, phobia, scarcity, all cannot arise where there is no thought. You don't recall through memory. There is no condition for it to arise. So when you are with the meditative mind, the silent mind, the true mind, you are always peaceful. There is just peace, silence, clarity, that stillness. And finally you experience tranquility and stillness. Means the mind doesn't move anymore. You understand? Huh? When the mind doesn't move anymore, the nature which is aware can be aware of stillness, the silence of nature. That's why this one can awaken, can see things as they are, and develop the meditation. So this is what you need to go into and develop the understanding. Whatever experience that come, if it transforms your nature inside to be very still, very silent, then whatever the subconscious or your mental ability to like sense or feel certain thing, that is because you had the condition to have that. Because sometimes all these are the affinity you develop with these great beings and the nature of that place. Because that place has its history, has its relics and all those things. So when this thing happens, that's why on a spiritual trip, you will encounter a lot of this if you have diligently developed your daily mindfulness, your stability of the silent mind, the meditative mind. Then you can experience many of these things. Sometimes you can detect them very strong. Then you just relax into it. Always remember, the first support, relax. The fourth support, relax, silent. Then maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then later on, trust. This nature's energy, they will go through your gateway and you will become like very still. If you cannot find the gateway, your stillness and tranquility is limited. Limited. You cannot go deep into it. You cannot go far into it. Because for your tranquility and stillness to be deep, or we call the factor of enlightenment or paucity. So these two. Will lead to paucity. Paucity. So paucity is actually an enlightenment factor, the fifth enlightenment factor. Fifth enlightenment factor. So this is the one that you must develop. When your mind becomes very quiet, very still, you have to stabilize it until this paucity, which is the enlightenment factor, is there. And when paucity is there, you can continue to awaken. Everything you come to reflect, contemplate, just like what he went through, you will understand. You will understand that everything that is in nature, you can insight into it and awaken to it, the essential Dhamma, the universal characteristic and all that. So this fifth enlightenment factor is very important. So from here, it can lead to direct seeing. Lead to direct seeing and awakening. And awakening. So this part is very useful.
So when this direct seeing and awakening happen, it will give rise to wisdom. Wisdom. The initial wisdom, when they come, your mind become very different. Then you can develop this capacity until it's very stable, very stable, born of wisdom. And this is called samadhi. Samadhi is the unwavering and collected mind. So capacity don't have that stability yet. But if you are in the meditative state throughout the day, then it has some potency. But when this capacity stabilizes until very stable, because your wisdom can make it stable, then you reach a stage of samadhi. This samadhi is not born of what they call concentration. It's not a conditioned state. That one, no use. The jhana, the fourth jhana, one-pointedness, all those things. That one cannot live life, cannot develop the direct seeing. That one can give you psychic ability. But if you know how to withdraw from that state and go into the daily mindfulness and do all this properly, then you will finally develop the sama samadhi, the right samadhi. The right samadhi is not a conditioned state. You don't focus, you don't concentrate, you don't force the mind to be very calm. Just through wisdom and understanding, even the initial wisdom, is enough for you to transform paucity to samadhi. Then when this state of samadhi is very stable, means in the midst of life, you continuously awaken, because the direct seeing keep on happening. That everything is dhamma. That's why I used to tell you, truth is everywhere, in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? The one who see, they always see. Because they have this enlightenment factor of paucity and samadhi. So when samadhi is very stable, you keep on seeing things as they are. Because when sense experience comes, at the moment of sense experience, there is wisdom, yoni so manasikara, understand? Then the mind doesn't move, doesn't stir, doesn't get deluded, doesn't get carried away, not affected. That's why it keeps on developing the ability to be collected and unwavering. So every time you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or think or something, or recall through memory, your mind is still. It doesn't waver. It's not affected at all. That's how you can see things as they are at that time. Very clear. That's how your various type of mind aggregate. You can be at the moment of feeling, it just stop there. You can be at the moment of perception, it just stop there. It can be also at the moment of activity of mind. You can move with it, aware of the thinking and the movement of the contemplating. Then it can be at the moment of consciousness before the content went in. That's why everything becomes very different. I remember during that time, I was watching my TV. All of a sudden, I realized that direct seeing and the pure perception was everywhere. Everything was just aware, no matter how fast. The color change, the sound, everything. Inside still. That's why that type of samadhi is very powerful, and you can understand. No wonder the Buddha said, sabbe sankhara anicchang. All these movements are sankhara. But when you are aware, you can see them. It's not thought anymore. It's the ability of the mind to follow everything. That's why no matter how fast the speed, mindfulness can be there. Because mindfulness is just aware. No matter what your speed, the mind, the awareness and the thing is one together. So when this samadhi leads to wisdom, the final enlightenment factor is upeka, the seventh one. Upeka means equanimity of mind, born of wisdom. At that time, You don't need samadhi. Do you understand? You don't need samadhi. That's why they say you are beyond study. No need to study anymore. It means no need to go to retreat anymore. Understand? Because no more meaning. Why you still want to practice? Cultivate. You already awakened. That's why all this is not what people tell you. So when the equanimity enlightenment factor arise, that form of mind that is connected, it has that wisdom. That's why his mind is always equanimous. Doesn't stir, doesn't move. It will not get drawn or deceived or deluded by the phenomenal world. It understands very clearly through wisdom. So when that happens, means the seven factors are all there of enlightenment, and you sure destined for enlightenment. And when you are enlightened, the form and mind doesn't need anything to be peaceful. That's why it's not like jhana or this thing. Jhana, you need to maintain your energy, understand? When you reach old age, when you don't have the ability, like when you are young, to maintain the jhanic state or the strong concentration, because these are all energy field, then that cultivator suffer. Sometimes they are monks. Suddenly they lose their ability to perform psychic, to do the thing that they usually can do, because the body goes the way of nature, weak really. So when they cannot maintain the samadhi, they realize that they are useless. A lot of things just disturb them, because last time they are dependent on this conditioned state of mind, the samadhi, not born of wisdom, not born of a free mind, it's a conditioned mind. So they cannot have the ability to be peaceful, to be aware, to have the clarity to understand. Because last time one is a conditioned state. It's mainly Dhamma knowledge, not translated into penetrative wisdom through the third turning awakening. So that is the big difference. So for a person who goes through the seven factor enlightenment, especially upekha, supported by wisdom, you got nothing to worry. Understand? Well, the wisdom is connected. Yoniso manasikara. Wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So if you have that, that's the reason why I used to tell Yunjan, wisdom you cannot learn. Yoniso manasikara. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. At the moment of sense experience, you cannot do. But the one that enlightened through wisdom and develop the equanimity of mind, the seven factor of enlightenment, that one can live life, even very old. Well, you don't need energy to maintain that. You only need the wisdom which the form of mind is connected to. This wisdom, once awakened, is always there. You will never get lost. But it's only pertained to that particular form of mind. Once the form of mind is separate, this wisdom that is connected also disperses. But it's inherited in your spiritual nature. But this spiritual nature, like I told you, not like karmic nature. You are not born. You are not immediately able to inherit them the moment you are born. Cannot. Not like karma. Karma straight away. The moment you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. Whereas the spiritual nature, you cannot inherit anything until you connect to your silent mind, until you can reach the state of no thought, Huining's first hallmark of meditation. No thought means the silent mind, means you can be in this meditative state, but this is your true mind. When thought ceases, the true mind, which is always there, arises. That's how meditation is to be developed through understanding. So this true mind, you have to experience it continuously silent, so that most of the time you are aware within with the silent mind. And this is the meditative mind. It has to be throughout the day. That's like daily mindfulness. Otherwise, you don't stand a chance. Without the daily mindfulness, you cannot be heedful. You understand that? What is heedfulness? Ever mindful, constantly meditative. Most people can't even be mindful for long. But the Buddha said, to be heedful, Dhammapada verse 23, is to be constantly, ever mindful. And constantly meditative, means constantly using that stability of mindfulness in the daily life to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, or the Noble Eightfold Path. So this is how the whole of the meditative understanding is to be developed and cultivated. That's why even at song stage, until recently, only he managed to understand. I've been telling this for a long time, but he didn't really catch it until recently. Because last time he was very excited with his ability to feel all this, because the mind is different, connected, transformed. That's why he said a lot of these things will start to create the vibration within. Yeah, when he went to Achanananda, Rayung, with Yun Chan, that the what they call chanting, Kuan Yin on the chanting came out. And when that one came out, it starts to vibrate. Then there is a lot of transformation inside. That's why after that, he read my Dhamma note, he understand. Well, that teaching that I share with you come from the silent mind. You don't have the silent mind, you cannot understand that teaching. So this is how Dhamma is to be understood and developed appropriately. Okay? So by now I think it should be clear. So here we go through one more time. The first thing is ignorant, the dependent origination. Dependent on ignorant arises what? Sankara is what? Mental activity or thinking or mental state. But your mind is an organ, isn't it? True or not? Is your mind an organ? Because the six an organ. The mental. So when you think, means the mind make contact with itself, understand? So like the physics experiment, what happened? Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. You become conscious, understand? That's why Sankara Pachya Vijnana. This is mental consciousness. Mental or mind consciousness before the content goes in. Once you input the content, it becomes form of mind, the five aggregate of form of mind. This is your mental five aggregate. So, dependent on the consciousness, you input content. Input content. Oh, consciousness. After you input the content of consciousness, then it becomes a thought. So this is a thought, see? This mental five-degree of form of mind is a thought. So the thought is the pure receptacle, the consciousness, and its content. Understand? And what are its content? The other aggregate of mind, your feeling, your perception, your mental states, wholesome and unwholesome, mental volition, chetana, and all those things. They form the content of consciousness. And this will define how your consciousness manifests. Whether wholesome or unwholesome, whether with delusion or without delusion. Then, like we have gone through in our book, the how many types of mundane consciousness. Then the eight types of supramundane consciousness and all these things. So all this you will understand. Then when this nama rupa occur, the Buddha say, for sense door consciousness to be there, there must be the sense basis. Because without the sense basis, it cannot trickle off. So dependent on nama rupa, arises a layatana. Excuse me. Salayatana. So this one is number six. Number five, sorry. Then Salatayatana Pachiya. What is the next link? When there is sense basis, what is the condition? Oh, contact. Understand? Pasta. Understand? With sense basis, it will arise contact first, isn't it? The ma. Japanese term. Because my throat trigger off when I talk too much. So it will trigger off contact. Cannot itchy. I need the sweet. That Japan, I went with Alicia, we bought in Japan. They are very good. Somebody recommended to us. Okay. Dependent on the six sense basis arises what they call contact. Then dependent on contact, what happened? Yeah? Like what Yun Chan and Song said, feeling arise. Then when feeling arise, if there is no wisdom, what happened? Your condition? Craving. That's why Vedana Pachya Tangha. Tangha is craving. Then dependent on craving, if you go and think some more, it arises what? Not becoming. You grasp first. Grasping Upadana. Then Upadana Pachya. Just now you mentioned becoming bhava. Then bhava, pachaya, jati, jara marana. Then birth. You become that thing. Then you transgress out. And it like give birth to that thing. Like a rapist. After you become that lustful rapist, then you act out of it. Means you are born into it. Understand? First you become, then you are born into it. Here you transgress through action, speech, and thought. This is how the dependent origination cycle goes. So without wisdom, you cannot cut a feeling. But when there is wisdom, at the moment of sense experience, actually upon contact, this link also happens. Ignorant contact will create more thinking. Wise contact, it ceases. Without ignorance, upon contact, feeling arises. That feeling will remain as pure feeling because there is no more delusion. Because the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, the wisdom factor, born of understanding, it will make sure there is no delusion. That's why it's not conditioned into craving. You cannot be deceived. You cannot be drawn by whatever people try to lure you or entice you. Clear? This one is the third time we go through. If by now still not clear, means you are not serious about meditation. That's why all this, I don't need to remember anything. I don't need to read or what. There is all inside the nature. Okay? Any question on what we shared? Don't have question. Means all understood. Go back slowly, go through. There's no hurry. I realize those who are serious, they go back, they spend hours going through this and develop the stability of understanding. But those who are not serious, after the class, they forget really. Then the audio link comes, also, no need to listen really. But you continue to listen like what Alicia, they all have gone through. is very different. Because you think you have heard. You think you know. You go back, just look at the whiteboard. Without my explanation, you try to find out whether you understand or not. That is the real one. That's why Mimi also, every time go back, he will draw the chart. Then he will go through herself. But when she's attentive, listening, then she can pick it up. Then that one will slowly go in. Then she like to draw the chart herself to test her own understanding. Which is a good way. Okay. If you don't have questions, we should rejoice with songs, good condition. Sadhu. 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 Okay. Who is next? You got any more? Are you some more? Yeah. Okay, then. Who is next? Those who went. Okay.
Hello. Rachel, actually, 其实我一这一年来，其实我很 lost 一下。在几个月前，我的 cultivation 就是 suddenly 我 from non vegetarian and I become a vegetarian， and then 就是一下子我很不适应这样子。然后我就就去旅行
啊，
所以我就是看我的心能不能放逸，就是出去，因为我觉得那个心，我要看我的心到底是怎样一回事。So after 这几个月的这个so called traveling and then you know。Reflect 回所有的一切的 cultivation， 就是我发觉我的心不能放逸，再也不能放逸，就是他会很自然而然的5点他就起来做早课，然后很多东西就是我不知道那个是叫什么，就是我的心就是在很多情形里面我。人家跟我说什么，我就只有在那边好像盯了一下，就是 aware， 而且你的心再也不会去 react， 还有 justify， 还有 like know， 还有很多很多的那种感觉。我只觉得就是很多就是那个心好像似乎就是在噔了一下，就是停在那边。
Because
很定的
you 了 understanding，
就是在
the basic understanding，
在听人家讲什么，你也不会再去 react，
不好像以前
不好像以前这样。
You won't become heedless like them already。
So 还有就是那个 subtle 的贪心，我也看到了。然后哈，他那个心里面会咯噔咯噔咯噔。几天你都好像哇。我再也不要这种感受了，然后你就会很下定决心，就是断了这个贪
嗔痴，
然后嗔恚也不会了，而且也不会有妒忌心，因为我去 observe 我自己，就是我帮人做东西，就是说我帮了别人之后，我的心态是怎样的一回事，然后从中我学习到我。不再去有 jealousy 这一种，也这个心就是很平静的那一种，就是这样子。
Very good。
就是这几个月。
Daily mindfulness 很重要。要 maintain。
Daily mindfulness 我不可以说我很 stable， but then 我觉得我自己个人觉得是。
Most of the time, you are aware from within.
会 at the mind level， 我会 aware 到我的 arising of the thoughts
which is very good.
Either 是真的还是邪的？
Yeah.
我会很。
Well, without mindfulness, 你看不到的。That's why 你有了 mindfulness, it starts to develop the ability
But 最重要就是还要 stabilize 那个 daily mindfulness until 那一段子, it could be a few months where there is continuous mindfulness. During that time, when you transform, you awaken, you become very different. Then after that, somehow funny thing will happen. The funny thing is, the mindfulness become natural. It has become a part of you. Understand or not, Yujan? Mindfulness become natural. A part of you. Can you understand or not? Like you go walking, your morning walk. You walk until body and mind as one. Then you realize you can walk very well. You are not tired. You won't be panting. But there is the peace. And when you are mindful and aware, you use very little energy. Then when it becomes a part of you, then you realize that awareness has become your nature. You and the awareness is one because it has stabilized. That's why the daily mindfulness will happen until the kaya nupasana is very stable. Very, very stable. Then when you reach that phase of stability of kaya nupasana, no need to know anything. That mindfulness that is so stable will see a lot of things, will understand a lot of things. Like I used to tell you, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? That's why 你就是要注意那个 stability of mindfulness. You already progress, but that stability of daily mindfulness is very much. You have to do it continuously. If possible, do it until it's a part of you. It has become your nature. It's just like you are very good at any games, cycling, badminton, table tennis, or swimming, or what. Because you are so skillful, so stable, so experienced. When you do all this activity or play all this game, it's like it's all spontaneous. It's with the awareness. Because it has become so skillful, you are so graceful, you understand? When you are very graceful, means what? Means you have practiced or cultivated until it has stabilized them. That's why it becomes very graceful. You do everything, it's like, it's a flow. Even the skating and all those things, the badminton, the stroke, everything. You like dance on the court, understand? Even cooking, it has become a part of you. Then people ask you, how come you are so skillful? Cook lah. Then you will be skillful. That's how. That's how I walk. Stand aware. Walk aware. That's how the Buddha said, everything you do, even standing, looking forward, aware. Bending, turning, stretching, aware. Answering nature's call, aware. Putting on your clothing, all aware. Fully aware. You have to develop that continuous mindfulness, that movement. And there is only kaya nupasana, do you know that? But a lot of people don't understand. Oh, they say, I already gone beyond kaya nupasana. Even feeling also, I don't want to do. I go straight to the mind. They say, do citta nupasana. You go and do. You are using your thought to look at another thought. Citta nupasana, you listen, cannot come about if your kaya nupasana is not developed. Before your kaya nupasana is developed, you cannot be at the moment of feeling. I tell you. Your feeling, vedana nupasana, is all thought-based. You understand? That's why daily mindfulness is a must. You cannot escape that training. Not until you are heedful, means ever mindful. Constantly meditative. Then you stand a chance, or you are destined to be awakened. But if you don't have heedfulness, if you cannot be ever mindful, you are as if dead. The Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 21. That's why heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So heedfulness is the most important.
That's why all of training or meditation is to realize the silent mind, which is sati. And when you are in that state of sati, mindfulness, you will experience a lot of things. You will experience beauty, calmness, joy, and everything. We have no thought. It's just aware. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes ever mindful. Means throughout the day, like what the Buddha described under Kayanupassana, the third category of practice or cultivation. First, he said, train yourself in anapanasati, to develop the stability of mindfulness of your in and out breath. When you are mindful of your in and out breath, you cannot think. Then you experience the calmness, the peacefulness, the beauty, the tranquility, and all those things. Then until your anapanasati become very subtle, very still, like no more breathing, but you are not dead. Then initially it go in, internal breathing. You hardly breathe. Your breath is very subtle, no, hardly any movement at all. Yeah. And that is very near the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, which will develop into pasati. Yeah. You have to reach that state of pasati. That's how you meditate, relax through anapanasati, until completely like there is no more breath. Very subtle. During that time, don't go and do all those foolish things that they tell you, sitting, touching, all those things. What are you trying to do? He said, feel the contact between your buttock and your pillow and all those things. You are trying to go into Vedana, Nupassana, not so fast. That one is just the beginning of Kaya Nupassana, when you can stabilize that mindfulness, awareness, leading to pasati. That is just the beginning. Because this mind need to be trained to be ever mindful. So the stability of it is very important. That's why after that the Buddha said, don't do anapanasati anymore. Why? Because it is just an object of meditation to anchor your mind, understand not? So that it does not wander off, lost in thought. Then what does this mind do? Just aware of the breathing, understand not? When it's aware, you have sati, isn't it? Then you stabilize it. Then you relax into it. Even when piti arises, relax. Sukha arises, relax. Until finally, still. Not through concentration, through the mind's natural state. Because when there is no movement, when your anapanasati reach the subtle breathing, your breath like stop. And during that time, you're not supposed to do anything, just maintain that silence and aware. That's why the second support leading to the third. Relax, aware, 24 hours, stay there. Then whatever arises through your senses upon contact, you will know. Yeah, your mind is silent. That is the meditative mind. And that's how you have to stabilize that mind. That's why I say after that you come out into the daily life and develop the second category of practice, which is mindfulness of the... After anapanasati is what? No, after anapanasati and the kayanupassana, the next category of cultivation is what? Mindfulness of what? No, that one is last. After anapanasati, mindfulness of what? Four posture, Standing aware, walking aware, lie down aware, sitting aware. If these four postures also you cannot be aware, how to go to the third category of practice? Third category of practice, you go and read the Satipatthana, is the daily mindfulness of everything you do in life. All action, all movement in the present moment. That's why the Buddha described it very detailed. Everything you do, you must be aware. He even says standing, aware. Looking forward, aware. Then bending, turning, stretching,
all this movement away, eating away, answering nature's call away, putting on your whatever clothing, and all your action and movement in the present moment. Everything is described there. Did you really cultivate that? If you cultivate that, your mind becomes different. The heedless people, you know how is their mind. The mind run ahead, think a lot, make a lot of mental intention, but you are never with the moment because you think a lot. Your thought run ahead. You are always thinking, just like this spiritual trip. At night, one of the discussion, Tony, your good friend, Tony. He loves, he has gone on 3 of my spiritual trip. Everyone, he loves it so much. He learned so much. But he's very busy. He thinks a lot. Because he got to do auditing and other things. And he got a lot of things to sort out. He said when he takes power, so the thought is there. So to him, he said, this is more efficient. While bathing, you think. I say you're supposed to be mindful. You know what he told me? Yeah, but I'm mindful. I take the soap, I put on my hand, you know, I'm mindful. I say, how can you be mindful when you are thinking? Huh? Thinking cannot be mindful. But there is the thought. When you are mindful, without thought, that movement, that activity, when you take your bath, you will understand when you are fully aware. How many of you have tried when you take your bath? You silence everything and close your eye. What do you experience? I actually asked Tony to try. If you completely silent, don't think. The moment you close your eye, what happened? That one is the later part. What I mean is when you close your eye, your field of vision, the seeing consciousness is gone. Understand that? Your toilet, the shower partition, everything that you used to perceive through your eye, the soap, everything gone. Then what happened? Your eye closed, your mind silent. What do? You tend to think, understand that? You tend to imagine, I'm in the bathroom, you know, shower coming down. But when your thought is not there, like what Han can tell you, you can only feel the sensation. But this is real. At least more real than the one that you cannot feel. That's how you will come to know all of the phenomenal world or conditioned world's activity. They are not real. Because the moment you silent and close your eye, all the creation is gone. Then everything you come to perceive through the consciousness, the mental consciousness, they are no more existing. Appear solid, all this. Then whatever you perceive. But the moment you close your eye, all this disappear. That's why the Buddha say your consciousness is like a magician. Create illusion for you. So when you realize that all these are no longer perceivable, because when you silence the mind without the consciousness, cannot perceive anything. You can only imagine through thought. But when you completely silent, then you realize all those things are not real. You can't even feel them. How can they be real? So that's why they are dependent oriented condition, right? Then you realize the only reality is, which is more real than the others, is your actual mind that can, through tactile consciousness, feel. Like the shower water that comes down. I have to use word to describe. But you're completely silent. You go and find out without thought what happened. It's so different. The bathing experience is so different. Then you are so sensitive that time, even when your shower is off, the water that drips through, you can feel them silent. Until every drop that comes down is totally different. You are so sensitive without thought. And you know whatever that is perceivable by the mind through the feeling portal, at least there is more real. Understand? The rest are not real. That's why, how can the phenomenal world be real? So when you brush your teeth, also same morning or at night, when you brush, you are not thinking. You just follow that movement. But you go and imagine the image of the toothpaste and the toothbrush, then you are not aware anymore. But when you are aware, silent. Just like what Han went through in the bath, that feeling. But when you brush, what happened? It's the sensation between your teeth and your mind, understand? And that thing that trigger of the abrasion or the sensation, at least that part your mind can feel, isn't it? So that is the only reality. The rest, you imagine through your thought, or your mouth, your teeth, the solid toothbrush, all these are concepts, understand? Words, idea, they are not real. And there is no human being doing all these things too. Because they are all conditioned arising mental phenomena. Then you realize, hey, who am I? At least this feeling part is more tangible, understand? But you have to have the mindfulness to have the ability to feel. That's why Vedana Nupassana can only come after Kaya Nupassana has been developed. The second category of cultivation and the third category of cultivation are very important. That this daily mindfulness can bring forth the direct seeing to develop the initial wisdom needed for you to break free. That's why you read the Satipatthana Sutta. What is the beginning statement for all the four categories of mindfulness training? Even Kaya Nupassana, Vedana Nupassana, Citta Nupassana, and the Mandala. They always describe this word. After overcoming what? You have been learning four foundations of mindfulness for so long. We also finished the sharing of Wu Ping Jing, sir. You can't even recall what the Satipatthana is all about. The first statement is, after overcoming, covetousness and grief, understand or not? If you have not overcome covetousness and grief, you cannot do mindfulness of kaya in kaya, understand or not? Mindfulness of the body or the feeling. That's why you need the initial wisdom after overcoming covetousness. What is covetousness? Desire, isn't it? Craving, isn't it? Grief is negative one, isn't it? If you are still influenced by the phenomenal world and have this desire, covetousness, and grief, you cannot cultivate four foundations of mindfulness. Understand how? You are not following the instruction of the Buddha. So the key word is, you go and read, after overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you do. That's why without the initial wisdom you do, you can't penetrate the Dhamma. And this part is the most important. So for you it's good. What you've gone through, you realize your mind is different. You don't react anymore. Then you are not excited like before. But the stability of mindfulness still need to be established. I realize you have to go through a period, maybe 3 to 6 months or sometimes 9 months, of constant mindfulness, ever mindful. Then the direct seeing, the awakening, the transformation will happen, the turning. That one is very important. Yours is mainly the second turning wisdom. You reflect, you contemplate, you develop understanding. Then your daily mindfulness is quite okay, except that it's not very stable until it's ever mindful throughout the day. That's why you are able to be aware of all this movement that used to disturb you, delude you, deceive you. Like you used to say, when that defilement come out, and now you have tormented me and deceived me for 16 years, straight away gone, cannot come out anymore.
So this is how the second turning wisdom understanding can free you. But the direct seeing, the third turning, the meditative wisdom, bhava na maya panya, that one is very important. So that one you need stability of mindfulness, the daily mindfulness. Then if you are able to do that, you will keep on awakening, keep on understanding, where the factors of enlightenment keep on arising. So to check your meditation very easy. If the factor of enlightenment are not there, you know your meditation is not correct. You are not doing it correctly. You can't even have any of the seven factors of enlightenment. Maybe you got pity when you do samatha. But that alone doesn't help. Yeah, what is most important is sati, the first factor of enlightenment. And sati is mindfulness, just aware, nothing else. That's why you have to stabilize that to be ever mindful, leading to heedfulness. And you use that ever mindful state to cultivate for foundation of mindfulness, which is part of the Noble Eightfold Path. Wow, so fast. So they all don't get to share the rest. So PG smile. Never mind. You share Thursday class, huh? Okay. So you have to listen to the recording, huh? And also got something to share. Okay. But when I was there, she and Hui Ling, a lot of joy. They really enjoy. Even Queenie, huh? Queenie? Wow, waiting to share. Never mind, next class. Okay, let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed. And we shall dedicate and transfer this merge to all being. Starting with the devas. Akasata chobumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sape deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya idang vinyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang vinyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang vinyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu.